I have a long fascination with miracles related to healing. I'm not altogether sure where it comes from, but for decades, I have been drawn to people and stories focused on and engaged in the realm of miracle healings. Perhaps my fascination with miracle healings is because my father was raised Christian Scientist. He came from a long line of healers in that tradition. Christian Scientists believe we are made in the image of God and sustained through God's healing power alone, so that generally they do not accept medical care or medicine for themselves, instead relying almost exclusively on the belief and power of healing prayer. And as much as I don't completely understand that particular articulation of Christian discipleship, I have immense awe and respect for the healing ministry of my relatives, especially of those who, like my aunt, is a trained Christian Science practitioner. They are powerful and faithful witnesses to God's presence in their lives and deeply faithful followers of Christ. Or perhaps my fascination with miracle healings comes from someone I met in my 20s. As a young seminarian, eager to explore this area of Christian faith, I was introduced to the life and ministry of Catherine Coleman. Born in 1907, Coleman was a self-described, born-again evangelical healer. She had an amazing life, becoming one of the first and most famous female tele-evangelists, following on the heels of Amy Semple McPherson. Her story captivated my imagination, and now over these past 30 years, I have quietly collected every single one of her writings, all of her interviews, recordings, and all of her television broadcasts and public appearances. And I have a dream. I have a dream of writing a show about her ministry, both on and off camera, culminating perhaps with a recreation of one of her tele-evangelist gatherings, her healing revivals, where the audience will be members of the congregation that have gathered to see and experience her faithful witness. Stay tuned. Or perhaps my fascination with healing miracles is actually much more simple, and perhaps more vulnerable and transparent. Truth be told, and simply put, I need to believe in miracles, large and small. I need to keep alive the possibility that when all hope seems to perish, due to illness or failure, frustration or despair, that there is, in fact, something more powerful, more possible, more potent and imminent than what we can conjure up or fabricate on our own. Perhaps this need is something that you have as well. Not a need couched in a desire for a kind of magical hocus-pocus, now you see it, now you don't reality, but the need to cultivate an ability to see and encounter and appreciate the otherwise inexplicable and miraculous happenings that go on, I think, mostly unnoticed, all day, every day. At the same time, I need to find a way to make sense of stories like the one we just heard in the Gospel of Mark. It just seems pretty outrageous, right? And there are so many more like this in Scripture, having precious little ability to lodge themselves somehow in my brain or my life with any kind of veracity. Who among us here can hear stories like this and not engage in some kind of mental gymnastics if, in fact, we are willing to try to hear some kind of relevant truth for our lives today? I think it's hard, but I also think that it's worthy of wrestling with because, well, I contend We still need miracles today, perhaps more than ever. Many of you have heard me say before that I believe there is often deep and meaningful truth to be found in our stories, in our scripture, in our traditions we bear, regardless of whether or not events described literally or empirically happened. There is a difference, I contend, between truth, provable, and yet what is eternally true. So today seems like a good day to explore what miracle healings might mean in our lives. And to do that, I want to look through the lens of the Gospel of Mark. We hear two stories of healing miracles this morning, but there are so many throughout the New Testament, and I think that all of them together have something profound to offer us. I have three thoughts to share about healing ministry, and about how the way that Jesus offered this ministry is as relevant today as it might have been thousands of years ago. Each of these thoughts can be summed up in a word, and each of these words also has a question and a challenge I hope to inspire all of us to engage that kind of healing ministry here at Trinity. First, acceptance. Jesus never once denied or challenged the presence or reality of an illness. When someone came to him for healing, he accepted them right where they were, whether physical, emotional, spiritual. Jesus started always from a place of acceptance. How do we extend that core value here as well? And when do we fall short? Are we a community that embraces others with all of their pain and illness and brokenness and doubts and struggles? Well, in my first year here among you, I have seen great examples of this core value, as well as what we would call learning opportunities for further growth. Truth be told, I'm still new enough that I feel I can say we do this pretty well here, better than most I have experienced. Too often I think the church ends up being the place where we feel like we have to pretend everything is okay for fear of being judged or isolated or misunderstood. Truth is, all of us, whether longtime member, new or just visiting, has had an experience of deep pain, or loss, or illness, or isolation, and to think that the church will make us feel further alone in that isolation is singularly a travesty we cannot abide. Just for a minute, imagine with me. Imagine someone comes here for the first time and sees that while, of course, we are all kinds of fabulous, we are also able to share that we are broken and we are confused. And sometimes we actually act like we don't even like each other very much, though we love each other always. We are people that are broken and blessed. And from both of those postures comes strength. How do you think an experience of a newcomer among us would be impacted by our ability to show and live out of that kind of acceptance? It's the kind of acceptance that I think Jesus calls us to and offers time and time again through stories. The next word would be inclusion. Jesus was the original equal opportunity healer. Seriously, Jesus never once denied anyone healing because of their station or circumstance. He did not discriminate on the basis of class or race or economics or marital status. All things, I remind you, that in first century were things that were important to people. So different than now, right? So how do we extend that value of inclusion as well? And when do we fall short? Are we a community that is intentional about radical inclusivity? And what does that really mean? Well, my answer would be the same as before. I have seen great examples, and yes, we still have some learning opportunities. As a liberal and progressive expression of Christianity in a downtown setting, I think we also do pretty well to invite and include those living on the margin, for example, those who may be struggling to find economic stability or throw some kind of monkey off of their back, be it a challenge, be it addiction, be it a sense of isolation, or maybe just welcoming someone who's just wandered here off the street because our door happened to be open and it's raining or it's cold or they're hungry. Our 9 o'clock free breakfast is not a secret anymore. And I love that on any given Sunday, we have honored new guests to welcome and to feed simply because we can. But again, I will say in love that what I think we seem to struggle with are the differences we encounter when we perceive, true or not, that someone doesn't share our same values or has an articulated perspective that we feel is offensive or misguided. It happens here, and it's real. And I hope that we will stay true to working through this challenge. It is a Jesus imperative, you know, this thing of working through our own biases and preferences in such a way that other people can be seen and heard and included. It's hard work at times, of course, but again, who said following this guy named Jesus was easy? Again, just for a few minutes, imagine with me. Imagine someone comes here for the first time and sees that even though they were raised in a very different religious tradition, or no tradition, or simply a more conservative tradition, that they somehow, because of who we were and how we welcomed them, they decided to come back. Crazy! How do you think their experience here among us would be impacted by our ability to show and live that kind of inclusion that we see in Jesus' stories? And finally, my last word this morning is urgency. Seems to me that Jesus didn't waste time or stand on much formality. He was always ready to say yes, to extend his hand, to roll up his proverbial sleeves, to invoke the power of God's healing love and get about it. Whatever the it was. We can learn a lot from this core value as well. Oh, sure, we need to be cautious and prudent in ministry. There is much value in planning and creating processes. Nothing makes me happier than color coding something. And we need to take time to include others and get to decisions arrived mutually. But there is also something very seductive at times by choosing a path that keeps us safe and perhaps at arm's length from doing the work and opening our hearts to the miracle that might just be around the corner if we dared. If having a sense of urgency is a core value in Christian community, then we are called to stretch beyond our comfort zones time and time again. Being inconvenienced for the sake of another, and then realizing how much you have received in return, may in fact be its own kind of healing miracle in our lives. So one more time, imagine with me. Imagine someone comes here, and for maybe the first time in a long time, one of us pours them a cup of coffee, asks about their life, and then really, really listens. Small as that may sound, it is in that moment that a healing miracle may occur. Acceptance, inclusion, urgency. These are things I see and hear and feel when I read about Jesus' healing ministry. They are also the core values I see us trying to live here as a community of faith. As we learn to move forward together, learning how to anticipate the presence of miracles every day, what is something in your life that needs healing today? Could you open yourself to the possibility that a healing miracle might be less about the removal of an illness or the undoing of a tragedy, and instead perhaps the gift of wholeness through finding companionship or peace amidst a struggle? Or what about discovering courage to face into a problem you have been avoiding and letting a new perspective lead you right into a healing miracle? Sometimes I think we have misunderstood what Jesus was calling us to do when he said, "Follow me." I don't believe for a minute we are being called to be religious automatons walking blindly along from a prescripted path laden with strident doctrines and dogma, dismissing or disrespecting someone else who has chosen a different path. I think, from where I now stand by your side in this community, I can see that part of what following Jesus means is a willingness to see with eyes that are focused on acceptance and inclusion and urgency, trusting that if we show up fully, miracles can and indeed do happen. So in the end, I will continue to respect my Christian Scientist relatives, appreciating that they have found a deep purpose and meaning. I will also continue my fascination, some might even say obsession and love affair, with the life and ministry of Catherine Coleman. And I will continue to keep a lookout for healing miracles among us through our small everyday acts of kindness and generosity. Theologian and prolific writer Henry Nouwen said it best when he wrote these words: "When we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us, we often find it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or even cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand." What a worthy goal for a ragtag group of followers of Christ like us. May we seek out someone who needs that kind of a miracle this week. May we refrain just for a moment of giving advice or solutions or pointing to a cure. May we offer a warm and tender hand, resting in the assurance that in that moment, our presence may just be God's love in disguise, the kind of love that the world does not recognize, but will always, always need. And that, my friends, will be a healing miracle indeed. May it be so.